Justice Castle will rejoin the court. Mr. Watson? Good morning to you.
The language of Nebraska Revised Statute 25-1506 is clear. The order of sale of all decrees for the sale of mortgage premises shall be stayed for a period. How that period is figured out is continued in the rest of the language of the paragraph. The order which the appellee requested for the sale of mortgage premises was clear. I'm not really sure what basis the lower court decided to deny the three-month stay, which the written request was submitted to the clerk as appropriately by the time frames.
Has the sale gone forward since the court denied your request for a stay?
No, Your Honor.
So, in effect, have you received what you asked?
Now I have, yes, Your Honor. There has been the three-month period that elapsed since that written request.
Do you have anything else for us?
Not if you don't have any questions at this point.
Mr. Watson, your entire argument is premised on the notion that the order issued by the clerk directing the sheriff to sell, or directing someone to sell, is a decree. Is that right?
The order by the court that the appellee requested was a decree of sale, as in the exact verbiage of the order. It says ordered, adjudged, and decreed sale of the mortgage premises. This was a secondary order that the court had asked, or that the appellee had asked for after.
Are you now talking about the supplemental decree?
That is correct.
Not talking about the order of sale?
The supplemental decree of sale of the mortgage premises, as per the wording of that decree.
Okay. Thank you.
One of the things we have to decide is whether there's appellate jurisdiction to take this appeal. Do you have an argument as to why the order denying the stay constituted an appealable order?
I mean, part of the statute says that if there's any right that would be lost, I believe you're referring to the non-final order argument that the appellee made. The statute says if there would be any right that would be lost, the right that would have been lost was that three-month stay if I wasn't able to appeal that order, denying it.
And if that necessarily would follow, if you are incorrect that you were entitled to a stay, there would have been no substantial right suffered or lost.
If there wasn't a right to the stay, that would be correct, but the statutory language is very clear. The order of sale on all decrees for the sale. The only time that I found any sort of prior precedent that differentiated whether it was a supplemental decree or an original decree was talking about personal property, not the mortgage premises. I could not find any precedent that basically stated that a supplemental decree ordering the sale of the mortgage premises could then be, didn't have the right to the stay.
Let me ask you about your understanding of the law. Suppose there is, and I'm not talking necessarily about your particular facts, but let's take a simpler fact pattern. You have someone who owes money as mortgaged land, there's a foreclosure action, and a decree is entered that says, yes, there's a mortgage, yes, there's a debt, and unless it's paid within 20 days, the sheriff shall sell as upon execution, and the party will be foreclosed of all right, title, and interest. We'll assume that's a decree.
Okay.
And the next thing that happens is the party takes an appeal. Doesn't request a stay, takes an appeal. The appeal goes up, party loses, comes back down. Do you think that an order of sale that would then issue by the clerk would be subject to a stay at that point in time?
Not without the supplemental decree of order that was requested of the court.
Okay, so it's the supplemental decree that your hat hangs on in this case?
That is correct, Your Honor.
All right, thank you very much.
Save my remaining time, thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Lindquist, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court and happy Halloween to everyone. My name is Eric Lindquist. I am representing the appellee in this matter, Mutual of Omaha Bank. This is a foreclosure action, and this is the second time this case has been before this court. It's indeed an honor to be here today. I believe it's been about 30 years since I've had the privilege to argue a case before the Supreme Court. Most of the foreclosure cases that I do not result in appeals, so it's a privilege to be here. I'll keep my comments brief today because there's really only one issue in this appeal that Mr. Watson has advanced. That's whether the district court erred in denying his written request for stay pursuant to 25-1506. Or stated another way, whether Mr. Watson timely filed his written request for stay after the entry of that decree. 25-1506 gives a defendant the right to request a stay of the order of sale on all decrees for the sale of mortgage premises for 3, 6, or 9 months if the defendant files a written request for stay within 20 days after the entry of such decree. And that's the operative phrase in this case, within 20 days after the decree is entered. In this case, the trial court entered its order on September 19, 2016, sustaining Mutual's motion for summary judgment on count 2 of its amended complaint, which sought foreclosure of its deed in trust. The court had previously sustained a motion for partial summary judgment on count 2 of the amended complaint, which sought a declaration that Mutual's deed of trust was a first and paramount and enforceable lien on the subject real estate. Now, although Judge Colburn's September 19, 2016 order was not styled as a decree, it clearly stated that it was ordered, adjudged, and decreed that, and then if you look at the findings in the order, it says several things. First of all, Mutual's motion for summary judgment foreclosure was granted. Secondly, that Robert Watson owed $533,459.36 plus interest and costs. Third, that in default of payment after 20 days, that the mortgage premises shall be sold upon execution, and also that upon confirmation of the sale, the defendants are foreclosed of all right, title, interest, equity of redemption, or other interest or lien in the subject property. Those are all typical items in virtually every foreclosure decree.
Counsel, was there, you've talked about various counts, were there any other counts still pending when that order issued?
No, Your Honor, there were just two counts in the amended complaint.
All right, so.
Count two had previously been ruled upon and sustained in Mutual's.
And this is count one.
This is count one seeking foreclosure. Thus, for all practical purposes, it's the September 19, 2016 order, which is the operative decree under Section 25-1506. And I think Mr. Watson is simply perhaps confused about what the operative decree is to start the timeline for the 20 days in which a written request for stay has to be filed.
How would you characterize the, is it December 20th or order, decree, or whatever you want
on
to
December
advise
20,
us?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. I believe you're referring to the November 22, 2017 order.
I thought I was referring to December 20th action. That's okay. When the court filed the supplemental decree.
Okay, yes. There were two orders that perhaps confused Mr. Watson. First of all, on November 22nd, 2017, Mutual had filed a motion to appoint a master commissioner to conduct the sale because the earlier order back in September of 2016 simply provided that the sale was to be upon execution. It didn't specifically provide an officer of the court, whether it be the sheriff or a master commissioner, to conduct the sale. So Mutual filed a motion to appoint a master commissioner seeking the appointment of William E. Langdon, Jr., who's a local Lincoln attorney to conduct the master commissioner's sale. And that hearing occurred, the court entered the order on, I believe it's November 22, 2017. Shortly thereafter, Mutual also filed a motion for supplemental decree to add in some additional advances they had made for real estate taxes and insurance and what have you. And perhaps that's the order that you're referring to.
Yeah, I am. And what's the significance of it?
I don't think there's any significance of it other as relates to 25-1506. There is a, this court I believe has ruled, and I don't have a citation for you, but there is a case that says that entry of a supplemental decree does not give a mortgagor a second right to a request a stay of execution. The court holds in that case that it simply increases the personal liability of the mortgagor and does not afford another right to a stay of execution.
So, and do you, I beg your pardon, and do you know the name of that case?
I don't, Your Honor,
okay.
I apologize.
You think it's controlling, nevertheless, you think it's controlling on this issue?
I do. It's controlling that the borrower does not get a second crack at requesting a written
a new 20 days. That's your position?
Yes.
It's cited in your brief.
Prudential Insurance versus Nethway,
thank
perhaps.
You, Your Honor. Yes,
okay.
That's the
thank
name
you.
Of the case. Yes.
So you believe that's controlling on this aspect, is that right?
I do, Your Honor.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
I think what's happened here is obviously...
Was there an appeal taken after the initial decree?
Yes, Your Honor. That was an appeal that was taken by Mr. Watson. Counsel for Mutual was John Stalnecker, who handled that appeal. This court found that basically it held that a violation perhaps of the homestead statute could not overcome a purchase money deed of trust and therefore ruled in Mutual's favor. After that appeal was issued and the mandate came down, we then continued with our foreclosure and eventually filed a motion for summary judgment on count one of the amended complaint.
There's authority that indicates that if a stay is taken, you do not have a right to appeal findings that led to the decree. Are you aware of that authority?
I am aware of it. I can't come up with the citation, Your Honor. But I do.
What impact would that have on this case?
Well, if the court were to allow a defendant to, first of all, appeal a case and then come back and request a stay, you'd in fact be taking... Instead of a 3, 6, or 9 month stay, in this case, Mr. Watson requested a 3 month stay under the statute. But if you look at 3 months plus, I believe 8, 9 months, 10 months for the appeal to pend and for a decision to be rendered and then the mandate to come down, I mean, you would, in essence, turn a 3, 6, or 9 month stay into much, much longer time than that.
Would you care to explain to the court how the stay statute came into effect to begin with?
You know, Your Honor, I'm not aware of how that occurred. I apologize. I think certainly the idea is to give a borrower more time to...
If I tell you that it originated in the 1930s, would that help?
Perhaps out of the Depression, Your Honor, is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
Yes. The idea, of course, is to give a borrower a chance to save the equity in their home, giving them more time, 9 months, when they have more equity involved, and give them less time, 3 months, when there's ideally or perhaps less equity to protect. And that's what Mr. Watson has requested here, was a 3 month stay. The bottom line, of course, is the statute's very clear. I do agree with the appellant on that issue. He says it's very clear. It is. Under 25-1506, a written request for stay has to be filed within 20 days. It doesn't allow a borrower to appeal the case, to come back, and then request. He had a choice to make. He could request his stay, or he could appeal. He chose to appeal.
And we have case law going back to the 1930s that clearly says if you appeal, you lose the right to stay.
Exactly, and I believe that would control the issue here.
So Mr. Watson's response then is, well, it's the supplemental decree that triggers a new right of stay, and your argument
and
is
a case
we've already disposed of
yes,
that.
Yes, a case that disposes of that issue as well. So it's unfortunate a pro se litigant is perhaps confused at the statute, but yet I believe they're required to comply with the strict letter of the statute, as any other litigant would be. He had 20 days to file that written request for stay. He did not do that.
Would have been helpful if the trial court had called it a decree to begin with?
I think it probably would have. And as I recall, I believe I did submit a proposed decree for Judge Colborne's consideration, but he chose to enter his own order instead. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
Yes.
We have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Mr. Watson.
Your Honor, you are correct. My position is that it was the supplemental decree that then triggered it again. That issue wasn't disposed because there was no prior written request for stay. On the first decree, the appellee is correct. There was never a written request for stay. So the only written request for a stay, which I agree with the law that he found, if there had been one, then you don't get a second written request for a stay. There never was in this case. Once the appellee went back and asked for a supplemental decree, that then triggered the right for the written request, and that was the first and only written request for a stay in this particular case. Any questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
That takes us to the next case of the day.